Well, hello, everybody. It's Sunday. I'm here. You're there. Ellie's here. Hey, Ellie.
Hello. Good to be back.
Yes, yes, yes. Did we wake you up?
I mean, this weather is not helping.
Admittedly. Oh, I know. And as the rain is only yet to start.
Yeah.
It'll be rainy this afternoon.
It's the pressure system. You feel it in your head.
Yeah. Well, those, why is it? Well, days like, well, snowing or like days like this, you just want to put a good movie in, just cuddle up and just do absolutely nothing.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is good, though. It's good for your brain to just, hey, take a hike. You know what I mean? Where just calm down. There was a deal on, I don't know if it was on Good Morning America or whatever, or something where scientists show that people that multitask, you know, they're going here, they're going there, they're getting this done, mm-hmm. they're getting that, that they, all of a sudden, they're going to burn out. And you need to just pull back. And, yeah, I think it was Good Morning America. Because then the gal, this gal that was in a high position, she literally put her phone down and took a train trip across the United States out like 3 weeks. And so she was unplugged yet not. She had access. Mm-hmm. But she said the first 3 days it crawled the walls because I'm constantly wanting to look at my phone. And she says all of a sudden it was like new energy in my head, things I hadn't thought about for a long time, pleasant thoughts. And just, she said it was unreal. So she got home, got back, quit a job, and now is doing crafting.
I'm the worst with that. I multitask like constantly and always need like I'm the kind of person who I even sometimes have to remind myself to not like put on music when I read a book.
Ah.
And to just like sit and be quiet sometimes. Yep. But yep. I try to do that like when I go up to my cabin and when I go camping, like yep. actively unplug. And like, even though I love reading and it helps when I want to climb the walls.
Right.
Like I will just sit and look at the water and try to do some meditation.
Yep.
It helps.
Yep. I'm not into meditation. I don't think I can do that. But I do find, like I say, I've been different, you know, classes, you know, they're up, you know, some real busy, sometimes not. Mm-hmm. And it's just really nice to just kind of sit. And this person said, you're not lazy if you just sit. You need to just sit.
Well, meditating is a vague term. Like, that's meditating. That's what I do. I'll just, like, sit, especially when I'm up north by the water, and just, like, listen to the waves and try to focus on it.
Oh, I love that sound. Mm-hmm. Especially at night. I think it's so cool to hear that. Either a running brook at night or, you know, that slap of the... Not like the North Shore on a windy day.
No, but our cabin is on an island, and when a bunch of people are up there, Kate and I, we stay in a tent, which is like 10 feet from the shoreline.
Ooh.
And it's beautiful, and you can hear like every single tiny lick of the water, the nice. Loons, the beaver slaps.
Wow.
That's lovely.
Cool. Yeah, that's what we need to do, folks. Unplug. Because then you get to think more about different things. You know, sometimes, you know, and you know how smells triggers memories or... songs trigger memories.
Yeah.
You know, and if you just all of a sudden just stop and then just kind of let it go, it's really unbelievable what your brain will come up with.
So. That was me last weekend. That's why I took a little vacation.
Yeah, well, just we all need that. We all need that.
Need to smell the pines.
Is your mom still loving her show?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Oh, guess what? Ding, 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 ding. Everybody, mark your calendars. I'm going to be on the Jason show.
Ooh.
The TV show, not the radio show, but the TV show. May 15th. You know, it shows from 10 to 11, so I don't know in that genre, you know, what time I'm going to be on. But, you know, you got a new pup, Milo.
Yeah, I actually met him this week.
Oh, did you? How was he? Yeah. I know he's a lot bundle of energy.
Well, so Jason brought him in, and he's like, what, 10 weeks? Mm-hmm. So he's just this tiny, teeny, tiny boxer, like pure puppy breath, like puppy vibes. And he's got massive paws and is in love with Jason.
Uh-huh.
And we have a box of wigs in the
room. Oh, no.
He found the box of wigs and started trying to pull the wigs out and play with them.
Oh, be doggone.
It was very adorable.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I've seen pictures of him on Facebook, and he marked beautiful markings. So that's really cool. Okay, folks, it's the last Sunday of the month, so guess who's here? Dr. Jessica Levy, Holistic Vet. So hopefully you can utilize her talents and her knowledge and call in with some questions, but being that we got her here, okay? And so, you know, sometimes when conventional world isn't working for you, you know, a holistic world may be able to fill that void. And so so hopefully you got some questions for her, Dr. Jessica Levy, Holistic Vet. And then also May 4th, you know, is a big animal walk at the state fairgrounds, you know, that Alexis and Holly are doing. Mm-hmm. Now, folks, will you do me a big favor? Number one. Okay, you ready for my list? No retractable leashes on that animal walk. No retractable leashes. And if you're there and somebody is using a retractable leash and letting the dog go willy all over the place, please be kind enough to go up there and say, person, please rein your dog in and lock it and just keep the dog with you. Do not let the dog zigzag and all over the place and get into other people's space and space or up to dogs that may not, you know, appreciate your dog getting in there and then wrapping them up and all heck can happen. So please, no retractable leashes at this walk. Keep them at home. Only use a 6-foot line, or even if you got a giant dog, you know, a big dog, let's say you got a Great Dane, whatever, just get a 4-foot lead. You just want the dog. This is not a social event, okay? What this is a walk, you know, for the animals to raise money, all right? So the thing is that when you get that many people and that many dogs, boy, anything can happen in the blink of an eye. And that will especially happen if you have a retractable leash and you let them willy-nilly all over the place. I've seen many times where the people have locked those lines and the lock breaks and then you've got a problem, okay? So do yourself a favor, leave the retractable leash at home. If you want that retractable leash at home so that your dog can go potty and not pee on the line, go for it, okay? But when you're out in events or social gatherings or just out, no retractable leashes. Just use a 6-foot line for the shorter ones. And a 4-foot line is even better for the taller ones, okay? Okay, another thing is that when you're out on this walk, be very mindful. Do not let kids come up and hug your dog. Don't let your kids go hug another dog. If they're heading for a dog, you grab them by the back of the collar and say, wrong. Stay with me. Stay with our group, all right? Because if that's a kid's dogs hate to be hugged. Remember, I have always told you this. Go and hug your dog. And then when your hand comes up over the back of the neck, you know, shoulder area, and then your face gets right into their face, you know, many dogs will turn their head sideways. You know what that is? It's telling you to calm down and back off. They're giving you the calming signal, okay? And there are some dogs that, you know, will come right up into your face and lick. That's fine. That was their idea to do that. But many dogs don't like you coming in and giving them the hug and the kisses all over the face. So watch the dog's body language. He'll tell you yes or no. But the big thing is kids always get bit in the face and because they're right at the dog's level. So please watch your kids if you're going to bring them on this walk and make sure you give them a resounding do not go and touch any other dog that is not our dog, okay? And if they do, they can ask the human, you know, the person, can I pet your dog? They can pet the dog, but they can't hug the dog, okay? And so that's why, like I say, this is not a social event for the dogs, that they make a whole bunch of new friends. No, what it is, you're out there to earn money for the Animal Humane Society, but you want it to be safe because, like I say, it can be overwhelming. Now, and also just taking your dog or cat. I know some people bring their cats. I know one person brought a hedgehog years ago. But anyway, let's just talk about dogs is that this is an event for humans, okay, where dogs can come. You remember a couple of years, Dr. Jessica, we were talking about that, whereas when the respiratory infection was, he had all the dogs stay home, and then you just did the walk. You know, that would be my idea better, because then I don't have to worry about the stress of the dogs, is my dog getting hurt or something like that. But the thing is that these events are for people, they're not for animals. And so the thing is, your animal, your dog, as much as you might like them to be social and want to do this event with you, that all of a sudden they're showing you stress signals. And we're going to get into stress signals a little bit later on. But the big thing is like, a couple of them right off the bat. When your dog is at an event, such as maybe this animal walk, or maybe you went to a brewery to have a cocktail and you're, you know, there's all dogs around. Okay, let's say your dog yawns. A lot of people, when they see the dog yawn, they think that the dog is tired. It's stress yawn is what it is. And the bigger the yawn, the more stressed they are. If your dog pins their ears back, okay, that they're being stressed. If you can see the whites of their eyes, that's called whale eyes, they're stressed. If they're licking, kind of, you know, like licking their nose, okay, they're stressed. Some dogs, the undercoat will pop where they look dusty, or they actually will pop their coat. They're sheddy, you know, starting to shed. And it's due to the nerves. So it's really advantageous to you as the owner to understand the stress signals and maybe don't sit there, the longer we're here, the dog will deal with it. No, the longer you're here, the dog's going to crash. And then you really got a problem. Okay. So that's why, like I said, these events are for humans. And the dogs much be much rather be with you, like for a calm walk in a park, you know, sitting, watching a waterfall, you know what I mean? Just hanging out with you, learning a trick or something like that. But these events, the majority of dogs don't care for them and they show all kinds of stress signals and owners don't listen or know how to. Now, if you really want to learn about stress signals, get the book Canine Body Language by Aloff, A-L-O-F-F, Canine Body Language. And that will help you understand the dog more in those situations. So what do you think, Dr. Jess?
Oh, I agree. Also, dogs will scratch themselves to diffuse tension.
Yes.
So sometimes you'll see two dogs meet, and then after a couple of seconds, everybody sits down and has a good scratch.
Yes. Yep. That's good. So,
yeah, they haven't instantly caught fleas from another dog. They're just kind of breaking the tension a little bit.
Yep. Or, you know, licking themselves too, type thing. But like even licking their nose or their lips, that's a stretch.
And you look at their faces, they'll get worry lines between their, like between their eyes on their forehead.
Oh, yeah.
You start to see wrinkles there. It's because they are worried. They are anxious.
Yes.
And then if you look at their lips, if their lips get long, they kind of pull the corners of their lips back.
Yep. That's really good. Yeah, because there's so many different signals that you need to learn, especially if you're going to bring the dog out and about. It's not a question of bringing them, then you will get used to it. Just like some people want to teach your dog to swim by throwing them off the end of the dock, you know? No, that's not the way you do it. You learn to work together as a team is the thing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, okay. We're going to run to break. We're going to come back. We're going to take some of your questions. And also Peggy Callahan is going to call in from the Wildlife Science Center up in, oh good, I don't know if it's Stacy anymore or Wyoming. I can't remember what that mailing address is. But anyway, because they got a big carnival event coming up, one of the main fundraisers. So we're going to talk about that. Okay, how do you cut a wave in half? How do you cut a wave in half? We'll be back. Hello. Thanks for staying with the Katie K Night Show and sharing your Sunday afternoon. Remember, we got Dr. Jessica Levy here. Please call with your holistic questions. 651-641-1071. 651-641-1071. Let's take advantage of having Dr. Jessica Levy here because, you know, sometimes when the conventional way isn't working, it's always good to get, check out a holistic vet and see maybe, you know, Eastern and Western medicine has to get along together because neither one has all the answers, okay? So take advantage of Dr. Levy here to pick her brain. So 651-641-1071. All right. Here we go. How do you cut a wave in half? What do you think there, Ellie?
I don't know. I really couldn't think of an answer for this one.
Dr. Jess, anything?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Okay, you ready?
No. You dive into it?
Yeah, there you go. No, you're Moses.
You're Moses.
I'm just kidding. But anyway, don't you use a seesaw. S-E-A.
That works. I appreciate it.
Okay, there you go. There you go. A seesaw.
A seesaw.
All right, so yeah, give a holler. 651-641-1071. You can also ask me questions too. I'm here. But I like to take advantage of when Dr. Jessica Levy takes the time to come into studio to talk that you guys can get some information from her too. Because then you get it straight from the horse's mouth instead of me relating what, I think Dr. Jess would say this. Now you can talk to her directly. So please do call 651-641-1071. Okay, now let's see. We were talking about the stress signals. Okay, so please, and then leashes, no retractable leashes. Okay, anytime, any event, not just March for May 4th, the animal walk, you know, just anytime you go out and about and you're going to be in events and such like that, please just have a 6-foot line. Tall dogs should be a 4-foot line. They just need to be with you. You are a team. Okay. Okay. Now, obviously, this is flea tick season, you know, and we always clamor and please don't use the, you know, I every time I see what the ads on TV where they give the dogs, you know, the pills, you know, when you give the dog something internally, if it goes haywire, you're screwed.
Yeah, there's no antidote.
No. And when you read the possibilities, that drives me absolutely nuts. I'm not taking that chance that one of them might possibly happen to my dog or my cat. So that's why you got to think of doing things naturally.
And particularly if you have a breed of dog if you have a dog who has ever had a seizure or who's predisposed to seizures, or if you have a breed that is predisposed to seizures. So, you know, golden retrievers come to mind pretty easily.
Yep.
Those kinds of chemicals should not be used in those dogs. If you're thinking about, you know, what about this one? That's what my vet carries. Or what about this one? I saw an ad. Google it and look at the side effects.
Yeah.
For most of them, the main side effect is seizures because these are neurotoxins. And we really should not be using those on our dogs. Not only not using those on our dogs, but it makes us feel safe because you feed the little chewy thing to the dog. And so the chemical or whatever it is, the toxin is on the inside of the dog. Yes, that's how, except it works by kind of exuding through the dog's pores eventually, which means you are exposed to it.
Ooh,
and if you're like me, my dogs sit on my lap, they lay on my couch, they sleep on my bed. Yep. And so that means that now you've got this super toxic chemical all over your house.
Good thought.
I think when people use natural methods, there's a tendency, like I get these emails all the time, like, oh, in spite of doing X, Y, and Z, I found a tick on my dog the other day. If you were going to keep all ticks off your dogs at all times, it would be something so toxic that you would be dead and your dog would not have any ticks on it.
Yeah.
And your dog might be dead too. But
yeah.
So some of this stuff, I think, you know, ticks are pretty tough. They're going to be crawling over our bodies when we're dead and gone.
Yeah. And so, oh, great thought.
Well, you know, these things could survive a nuclear holocaust. Yeah. And so this idea that there's going to be some magic out there that my dog will never get a tick again. So, you know, the first thing to do is feed them well.
Yes.
Right. You want to create a less appetizing target for fleas, ticks, mosquitoes, etc.
Right.
So I'm a big fan of raw food. That's always kind of where I start. Out of all the natural options out there, I will say those amber collars seem pretty magical.
Yes, they do.
The clients that I have come in, their dogs are wearing amber collars. The vast majority of them say, I never find a tick on my dog, ever. So if you can do it, now the thing is, I would say get it from a reputable company.
Yes,
so,
like ambertick.com.
Yeah, amber and there's another one called ambercrown.com.
Amber Crown, CrownCrown.
That kind of crown.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Because I feel like, I mean, I know that you can buy these things on Amazon, but honestly, I wouldn't be able to tell if it was real amber.
Well, the big thing is that the one of the kickers you can tell if they're shiny. They should be very dull.
Right, but I mean, but if you buy it from somebody off of Amazon, what you get in the mail might not be what's in the picture.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I don't know. So I don't feel confident. I'm looking for a reliable company.
Yeah.
You know, I have a client who she found one that costs less and she found it on some website and I looked at the website and I'm always a little nervous about websites where they can't spell.
Yeah.
Because there are programs that will help you spell.
Yeah.
So, you know, hers does seem genuine and it does seem like it's working, but I don't know how you test these things. Like, do you try to bite into it?
No.
And if you can't make
the biggest clue is how they look. They shouldn't be, they should not be symmetrical.
Right. Because it has to be rough amber.
Yes.
And so not like, you know, you can, I mean, my earrings have amber in them, but they're polished.
Right.
It's smooth. And you don't want that. It has to be rough amber. And so basically it's going to look like chunky yellow kind of costume jewelry for
amber,
your dog.
Not really yellow, ambery type thing.
Oh,
they're not yellow. I think about like the yellow that's on your shirt. You know what I mean? Your sun shirt there.
Okay, oh, in my eyes, the amber is kind of yellow.
Okay. Isn't it orange?
What?
Orange? Yeah. And it's kind of brownish too. Yeah. Sometimes you get different colors of amber.
Yep.
But basically you put it on the dog. The dog has to wear it all the time. And so this is not a collar that you just put on for when you're taking your dog for a walk or in the woods. They have to wear it all the time. As the dog moves around, the collar rubs against their skin and coat. And within a couple of weeks, it becomes insect repellent.
Yes. It doesn't happen like you put it on today and no ticks tomorrow.
Right.
So,
And you can't just put it on for the camping trip because it's not going to work that way.
And this is not a collar you hook your leash to.
Oh,
it's just a collar.
And that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Like, the buckle is not a serious one.
Yeah, the buckle's not a serious one. That's good. Okay, what do we got here? Okay, let's see. Da-da-da-da. What is a baby hair called? A baby hair. H-A-R-E. We'll be back.
That's Michael. He's in the middle of a massage at the YMCA. He says he's glad he found out he can add well-being services onto his Y membership, like acupuncture, meditation, and nutrition classes. And massage. Yeah, totally. So join the Y at ymcanorth.org.
Hot
All right, we're back. Thanks for tuning in to Katie K9 Show. Greatly appreciate it. You see her in your Sunday afternoons with me, and I'm your nooner every Sunday. Okay, what is a baby hare called? H-A-R-E. A baby hare.
A bunny?
Yeah. What do you think?
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I thought too. Now, this is really strange, and we're probably going to have to look this word up. I don't get it.
Yeah.
But then it'll probably say hare, right? So, but anyway.
What is it?
It's a leverette.
A leverette?
A leverette. L-E-V-E-R-E-T. Leverette.
That's interesting.
What baby hare is called.
Never heard that word in my life.
Neither have I.
I'm going to have to track that
I
down.
I just would have said baby bunny.
Have you ever seen, like, when I was in the Arctic, they have, like, proper Arctic hares up there, and they are not the same as the things
legs.
You find in your backyard.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was this when I was in the Arctic?
Yeah, I paddled the Arctic for 2 months.
Have you read her book?
And well, yeah, me and my dad wrote a book based on that experience.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
What is a book? Say it.
The Barrens, Tale of Love and Death in the Canadian Arctic.
There you go.
Oh, I'm cold already.
Oh. But it's based on my canoe travels there. But yeah, they had Arctic hares up there, and I'm talking like height wise. I remember when one got close enough to us, I could get a sense of its size. That thing might have been 3 feet tall. It was crazy.
Really?
It was so big and so fast when it was moving. It like ran by a sled cart and took up like half of it.
Wowzer.
Like this thing, if you like killed and skin it and laid it down, like end to end, I'm sure would be like between 2 and 3 feet.
Wow, that's
massive,
really interesting.
Massive creature.
I didn't realize it was that big. I knew they were big, but I didn't think they were that
big.
Yeah,
we didn't realize it either until one got close enough and we were like, oh, that could feed us for a week.
Yeah. Did you get a picture?
Yeah, I actually did. I got a video. Let's see if I can track it down. Ooh, I'll show it to you.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool. Okay, there we go. Okay, we're going to... Peggy called in, so let's get a hold of Peggy right now. Peggy from the Wildlife Science Center. Why don't we bring her up? Hey, Peggy. Oh, there. We know Peggy's at work. Heard the howling in the background. How the heck are you, ma'am?
Oh, I'm good. How's my favorite dog trainer?
Oh, good. How's my favorite wolf person?
Oh, barely able to walk anymore, I'm telling you.
Oh, no. That happens to the best of us.
It's puppy season, you know. So.
Oh, jeez. How many wolves you got due out there?
We've got... two more,
okay.
And we have one litter on the ground. So,
oh wow,
yeah. But we also got hit up to take some orphans. We can't really talk about the situation, but it was a crisis. So, yeah.
And that's what you do. Your door is always open. Somehow you make it work. Yeah. I don't know how you do it, but you do.
You just say, okay, we'll make it work.
And with that said, one of your main fundraisers is coming up. What, May 18th, is it?
Yep.
Okay,
watch it.
Okay, explain that, what it is, a canine carnival, right?
Yeah, so Canine Carnival was started way back in the 90s because people kept bringing these northern breeds to me and saying, how much wolf does my dog have in them? And people were almost always disappointed when I said, not a speck. Cool-looking dog and go home and celebrate. So we decided we needed to really educate the difference between wolves and dogs. And I'm telling you, I still need to do this because we still are facing all of this garbage that people think they have these wolf dogs at home.
Oh, jeez.
What we do is we have a bunch of different breeds that demonstrate the really neat things we've been able to encourage dogs to do. We have herding dogs. We have canine dogs. We have somebody looking for antler sheds. Just some really cool things that I'm always just astonished at what dogs can actually accomplish.
Yes, isn't it something? It is.
Yeah.
Dogs are only stifled by us humans.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so backyard breeding. But.
Yeah, that's true. Now, at the Canine Carnival, you're going to have food, and then you're going to have demonstrations, and you have some vendors too, right?
Yep, we have some vendors, and we have... Bent Bruce Dillery, if you feel like having a unique craft beer when you're walking around looking at wolves, and we will have some wolf pups on display as well.
Okay. It'll give you the courage to go past the wolf pens, right? Yeah, well, your new facility. Now, is this Stacy or Wyoming? I always get this.
This is Well, you get off at the Wyoming exit, which is, so it's closer to the city of Wyoming than it is to Stacy, but it's technically a Stacy address. So
okay.
We're really kind of right between the two.
Okay. So now, and this is a main fundraiser for you. How much is it for everybody to get there?
$15 for adults and $5 for kids.
Okay. And kids are considered what? 5 and under?
Four to 17.
Oh, really? I'll be dated.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Sounds
yep.
good.
Wait, hey, if you can't vote, you're a kid.
So. Yeah, there you go. but that's the main thing, though, is to promote, to show what you do out there, which is unbelievable since you got to your new facility. Well, it's not new anymore, but it's, I remember you in Forest Lake at Carlos Avery's, what you did yeah. there in the space that you had was phenomenal.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. We are so happy on our new place. It is just fantastic. We have 210 acres now, Katie, and there's a lot of walking trails through it too. So, you know, you don't have to come see wolves. You can walk around our trails and it's just beautiful. We have a group of folks that come for our warbler migration, which is really hopping right around them.
And you have a lot of other events that are going on, so they can go to your website. What's your website?
It's www.wildlifesciencecenter.org.
Okay, .org. I can never remember if it's org or com. I can never remember that.
Yeah, no. And science. I can't tell you how many times I have misspelled science. It's embarrassing.
But that's true. That's very true. But anyway, so that's now, it's going to be, now that's a Saturday, May 18th, correct?
Correct. Okay. And dogs on leashes are welcome.
Okay. So, always say this in all your handouts, no retractable leashes. Can you do me a favor? No retractable leashes.
Right, Katie. Oh my gosh.
It drives me nuts when I see that out in events. You know, it's like, contain your dog, please.
Yeah, honest to God. Well, it's just, we really have to be hard. We're hard on people sometimes when they come in the gate and they do not have control on their dogs. Learned from the best.
There you go. Because now, how many different types of wolves do you have there at the Science Center?
So we have Mexican gray wolves, which are one of the most endangered subspecies of gray wolves. We have red wolves, which are separate species altogether. And we have the subspecies from the Rockies. And then we have the subspecies from Minnesota. So we have four different kinds of wolves at the Wildlife Science Center.
Wow. And they are very intimidating. When you're standing there looking at them, you know, and sometimes, you know, if you they lock your eyes, you're just kind of like, you get a heebie-jeebies. I think I'll move on. And you're out in the pens, you know, hey, Grover, how you doing? And I'm like, you're nuts. But you gain that, you know, that respect. You have that aura, you know, about you. And I'm sure you probably have, over the years, there have been some whoops. But you're still here to talk about it and be such a good adversary for the wolves. So that's phenomenal.
Yeah, the misunderstandings about these guys is it's tantamount. It's just huge. It's really, I mean, they're the most timid carnivore on the landscape by far.
Yeah.
Way more timid. Running into a mountain lion, I would be scared.
Yeah.
But I've run into wolves. We live in wolf country, and I've run into them on my property, and they don't scare me.
Yeah.
So I desperately try to get my phone out so I can take a picture.
Yeah.
So.
Stop. I got to get a picture of this.
Yeah, exactly.
My house is just over the hill, and there's others like you. You want to come and visit?
Exactly. No, but one of our vendors, really creative marketing, they have llamas. And they, alpacas, and they harvest their fur and make beautiful hats. Well, they brought an alpaca to the center to market their booth, and that poor alpaca walking between wolf pens and mountain lion pens, that thing, I've never seen, his little face was just staring straight ahead going, keep walking. And the wolves were all at the fence going, wow,
lunch.
Live.
No kidding. Oh, that would have been something. And see, the thing is, too, when you bring your dogs out there, they sense the difference also. You know what I mean? As far as, you know, what you've got. And like you see, you just said, now, do you have a mountain lion out there? I know you got bears. I know you got some raptors. What else?
Yep. We have quite a few raptors now, and we have a new building, which is really beautiful.
Okay.
So we have mountain lions, we have bobcats, and a number of different gray fox, red fox, raccoons. And my very favorites are the porcupines, African crested porcupine and the North American porcupine.
Wow. I didn't know you had porcupines. I think it was Twin Cities Live or somebody had a little ditty about porcupine down at the Minnesota Zoo. And I've never got to see them close up. And, oh, is that ever cool? You know, you see the body, but you never see the face. And then you watched them eating. And it was just kind of fun.
And they're so adorable. Well, and the thing is that it is remarkable how many people still think that they can throw their clothes.
Yeah.
So when they walk in the room with an African crested porcupine, which is about a 25-pound animal, they're all convinced I'm bringing them there to their death.
Okay, fire!
No, exactly. No, only if you're not nice to me, and then I'm going to tell
you. There you go. You're going to press a little button and tink. So we got a main event for a huge fundraiser, yes. And if you can't attend, they can always go to your website and donate, correct? The Canine Carnival, and that's May 18th. What did you say? What? 11 to 4? Noon to 4?
10 to 4? 11 to 4.
11 to 4, okay.
Yep.
And you can bring dogs as long as they're leashed and under control.
So, under control.
Yes.
Or I'm going to send you to Katie.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And so what's your website again? And we're going to put a link from my show page for yours too. But why don't you say your website again?
Okay, www.wildlifesciencecenter.org.
And spell science right, correct?
Yes, I before E.
Okay. Peg, it's always good to talk to you and hear from you. So good luck on your event, and maybe I might, if I'm not doing anything, might scooch up there and say hi.
I would love that, Katie.
Okay.
All right. Take care. And keep up the good work.
You better take care of those puppies. I can tell you're sitting in the middle of them.
I am actually.
Okay. Take care. Bye bye. Yeah, she's, I don't know, did you hear that?
I can hear the little puppies.
Okay, those are the wolf pups. Yeah, those are the wolf pups that had just dropped. And that's just what she does. She doesn't get up to go, like, sit in an office and, you know, do a call or anything. She's wherever she's at, she's, you know, okay, now we're here we are. That's the way. Peggy, I've known her. Good gravy. I think the first time I met her when I used to have my TV show, that was 94.99 on PAX 41, which is now 45. It was every Saturday morning from 9 to 9:30. And that's when I met her. So that was back, let's say 1995. Or just say 94 to 99 was a TV show. So for mass sakes, you know what I mean? Isn't that just like 20, yeah, that's, I've known her a while. And boy, what she has done, she goes all over the world with her wolf project. It's basically what it is she runs a lot of tests on the wolves, blood work and stuff like this. There's a whole bunch. It's not just keeping these animals. It's research. That's why it's called the Wildlife Science Center. The science, because she does scientific work there for the different things that she's got.
I was checking out their website. They have a lot of cool things that you can do to support them, including like, They have options where you can pay to have animals join your Zoom meetings.
Yep.
And birthday greetings and stuff with, you know, anywhere from cougars to porcupines, I guess.
Yeah. No, like I said, it's a wonderful place. Love those guys up there. So if you got time, that's Saturday, May 18th. I think she said 10 to 4, 11 to 4, something like that. $20 for adults. And then $15 for adults, excuse me. But if you want to give 20, that'd be great. Remember, this is a fundraiser to help support everything she's doing up there. Okay, let's take a break. We're going to come back, and then we're going to the phone, so don't hang up. Okay, here we go. Which flower name comes from the French for lion's tooth? Which flower's name comes from the French for lion's tooth? All right, we're back. So I appreciate everybody calling in. And sorry that, you know, me and Peggy could sit and talk for hours. But anyway, so I want to thank you then. Wildlife Science Center, Saturday, May 18th, 10 or 11 till 4, go to wildlifesciencecenter.org. And there's a link on my show page at mytalk1071.com. It's a great, and if you can't go, please take the time to put them on your donation list, because this gal has done some phenomenal things for the wolves. And as you could tell, the other things. Porcupines, too. Okay, let's go to the phone's line. People have been patiently waiting.
Did we have a question? Did you go to break with a question?
That's right. Thank you. Thank you for keeping me on task. Okay. What flower's name comes from the French for lion's tooth?
Oh, no wonder I remembered, because I actually had an answer for this one.
Okay.
Is it dandelion?
What do you think?
Yes.
Ding, 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 ding. Dandelion.
Dandelion.
I didn't realize that. That's crazy. I love my dandelions. My yellow poppy field. mm-hmm. is blooming very well right now.
Cute. I like to do the thing where you pop the heads off them when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite pastimes.
You know what? Cassandra couldn't understand when she was a little kid. You know, during the day, she'd run around, pick me a bouquet of dandelions. Mm-hmm. So you put them in the flower. Well, then, you know, night comes and the flower goes sloop. And Cassandra was, Mom, they all died. He was just crying up a storm. And I said, don't worry. Wait till tomorrow morning. So, you know, some morning comes and she goes out there and it's still not light yet. You know, and Mom, they're still dead. And I said, just hang on. So then she forgot about it, was got onto other things. And sure as bananas, what happened? She comes in, they lived. So it was so funny.
So sweet.
Oh, it was. It was so cute. I think every mom, that's their first bouquet of flowers, is that of dandelions.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, let's head to the lines. Who's there?
First up, we have Robin, who has some questions regarding vaccinations and introducing her dog to a new group of dogs.
Okay. Hi there. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What can we do for you?
Well, I have to say I have a boxer because of Jason, so I'm excited that he got a new puppy.
Yes. Good old Milo.
Best way. So I'm calling about, I'm glad you have the holistic vet on today. I had questions for a long time about vaccinations. And then I also have in her opinion on vaccinations for dogs and cats. And then I also have a question because my girlfriend just built a house up on the North Shore, and I plan to visit her quite a bit up there. And I do not bring my dogs around other dogs unless you recommend that they're in my circle, like my son's dog.
Okay.
But I need to introduce my boxer, who can be aggressive towards other dogs, to my girlfriend's dog. And my brother, I would like him to start coming up to my cabin. And I would like to introduce my dog to his dog. And so I'd like to know your advice on the best way to do that.
Okay. Well, Liz, what's your questions with vaccinations?
Well, which vaccinations does she recommend and which ones does she not? I've heard about the flea and the tick. I know my one dog has to have rabies because she's a little Shih Tzu Maltese and she has to get groomed. But what vaccinations do you recommend and which ones would you stay away from, specifically dogs, I would say?
Dr. Jess?
That is such a personal decision.
Yeah.
So typically what I recommend is read two super short books with really big print. One is Stop the Shots by John Clifton, and the other one is Vaccines Explained by Lori Koger.
Okay.
And those books kind of help walk you through what the different vaccines are for, whether these are diseases we should be concerned about or not. Another good resource is if you Google Dr. Jean Dodds, JEANDODDS, Minimal Vaccination Protocol. There's a link on the Creekside Kennel website. And there's a PDF attached to their website that comes up. And it basically also similarly kind of walks you through the different diseases. What's a real concern? What is not so much? So because, I do a ton of work with immune system issues. Most of what I treat is, at least in part, vaccine damage. But what I might choose to do with my dogs is not what somebody else might choose to do.
Right.
I also have oodles and oodles of homeopathic remedies, and I know how to use them. So you can use homeopathic remedies to prevent disease in lieu of vaccines. But everybody has to kind of find their comfort zone and what fits with them. I don't think it's difficult to find a groomer who doesn't require vaccines and trainers who don't require vaccines.
Right.
You just have to kind of poke around on the internet and talk to people and, you know, find people who are in a similar mindset. I think overall, from what I see in my practice, it's a great gift that we can give our dogs by stopping vaccines as early as possible.
Okay. You get that?
That's very interesting. Yes.
Yeah. And there's another really good book, too. It's called Shock to the System. Shock to the System by O'Driscoll, capital O-D-R-I-S-C-O-L-L.
Okay.
And there's another book. It's called Natural Immunities. Natural Immunities by Pat McKay, M-C-K-A-Y. And if you go to patmckay.com, you can read that book free.
She took it off her website.
She did?
Yeah. Yeah. I was looking for it just a couple of weeks ago, and it's gone.
Really?
It's also out of print.
That cherish the copies I got.
100%. So if you go on Amazon and find it for less than $40, grab it.
Wow.
But Catherine O'Driscoll's books, the first one was called What Vets Don't Tell You About Vaccines.
Yep.
And the second book was Shock to the System. Yep. And those are kind of, they're longer.
Yes.
The font is smaller. They're more dense. Yep. But if you kind of really get into the topic of vaccines, they're both a very good read.
Yes.
I think there is such denial in conventional medicine. Vaccines are always safe, effective, and necessary, and they never cause side effects. And yet, just recently, I was at a dermatology conference, and the lecturer said a couple of times, you know, at this point, you should reconsider ever revaccinating this animal again. And so it's kind of like, word is out. We know vaccines cause problems, but the official party line is, no, they don't. And don't say that they do. Yeah. So it's a kind of topic. It's very difficult to find accurate information on, because it's one of those things that we are not allowed to investigate and we're not allowed to talk about.
Yeah. And there, yeah.
And anytime you have something like that, it's suspicious.
Yes. And then, you know, like with your little person, as far as if you call a vet, like a corner vet, when you go to the corporate vets, yes, our vets, I mean, groomers, okay, they require vaccines, okay, a list very long. But if you go to like the corner groomer, many of them, when you call to make an appointment and they take an appointment and they don't ask if you're, are you up to date on your shots? They are ones that believe that vaccines are good for the life of the dog. Okay. But if you go and ask, what do you require? Then they feel that you're one of those people, that's kind of a Nazi shot Nazi. And so anyway, so that's the whole thing. Why don't you hold on? Because this is a big subject. Okay. Hold on. We got to run to break. We'll be back. Okay.
Okay.
It's up to yourself. Okay. What is a growler? What is a growler? We'll be back.